11. We're going to read about his buddy, prophecy students call the false prophet, his right-hand man. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. So he appears to be peaceful like a lamb. It may even be a false Messiah. Jesus is a true Messiah, the Lamb of God. But he may look like a lamb, but he's actually demonic. He's actually a dragon. He works, he's on the payroll of Lucifer. Verse 12, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose fatal wound was healed. So now you have the whole world following after the Antichrist and worshiping him, at least those who do not trust in Jesus for salvation. Verse 13, and he, the false prophet, performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So you don't sign up with this one world religion. You don't worship the Antichrist, and you're going to be put to death. Capital punishment there. Verses 16 to 18 talk about the mark of the beast. And he, the false prophet, causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. And so, by the way, too, this technology is here. Everybody's got a... There are enough digits in the universal product code, which, by the way, is already on a 666 code. There's enough digits for everybody to receive their own number, as well as the general universal code 666. But these can be placed on a little microchip on credit cards, and that's being done regular. And not too long ago, they began interjecting these microchips into dogs so that... They could just run a scanner over a dog's leg and find out where the owner lives and that type of thing. And so even if it lost its collar, they can still locate where exactly the dog is. Now, if you don't believe that technology is here, just go shopping. All you gotta, you grab a box of cornflakes off the shelf and you have no idea how much it costs until they run the little laser gun over the barcode, and then it pops out with the price. And so the technology is there so that you can basically do away with money, you can do away with credit cards, you can go to a completely cashless society, and all you'd have to do is just walk up and let them put this laser gun over your right hand, and it would just deduct from your account whatever needs to be deducted. And it would solve a lot of the world's problems, by the way. Now, of course, the Bible teaches that in order to get that mark, you're going to have to worship this end-time false Messiah, the Antichrist himself, and that those who accept that mark will be damned to the flames of hell forever and ever. Revelation 14, verses 9 to 12. But what I'm getting at is the future one-world government, if God is right, and I think God is, if God is right, then Ted Turner is wrong. Okay? If God is right, Ted Turner is wrong. Where Ted Turner is placing his hope to bring peace on earth. Let me tell you, there is no peace without the Prince of Peace. And until the Lord Jesus returns in power and glory, we will not have peace on this earth. There's going to be wars. And I'm not saying that justifies having the wars, but what that does justify is having a good military defense to protect your people. Okay? And let me tell you, The governments that give their people some sort of freedom are in the minority in this world today. You bring all these nations together and try to figure out what type of government to come up with. Believe me, it is not going to be a government that is going to have our best interest at heart. Take a look at Ephesians 6. I'm going to close with just a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 6. What should our response be? If there is a movement towards a one-world government, if the spirit of deception, of lawlessness, the principle of lawlessness is already at work in the world, if there's a movement towards a one-world demonic government, what should our response be? Obviously, we should oppose the New World Order. We should tell our friends about it, about what Revelation chapter 13. See, whenever man says, hey, you know what? If we just get together, we could save this planet. Whenever man looks to himself for salvation, that's called idolatry. And idolatry will not solve your problems. I don't care how big or how small, idolatry is not going to solve your problems. We need to turn to the Lord, the true God who made heaven and earth. We must oppose the New World Order. But we must, above everything else, preach the gospel. We need to recognize that our battle is spiritual. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. See, our problem is not Ted Turner. Our problem is that demonic spirit that's whispering in his ear. Okay? Unless he resides there. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The real battle is being fought out in the spiritual realm for the hearts of men. Witnessing, proclaiming the gospel message and trying to lead people to salvation in Jesus Christ. Now I want us to turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. There's a few other verses on the second coming of Christ. Matthew 24, 29 to 31. And Revelation 11, 15. And Revelation 19, 11 to 16. Talking about the second coming of Christ. Read those when you get a chance after the potluck or something. But recognize that God will intervene again. Recognize ultimately this thing is going to come about. All we can do, maybe we can stop it from coming in our generation. Maybe if there's revival in America and throughout other countries, maybe we can push this new world order back three or four generations. But ultimately it's going to come, so we need to recognize that God will intervene again someday. The Lord Jesus will return. So look at Titus chapter 2. In fact, hold that page, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Hold that page and go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. And that reads, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Okay? We need to look at the views of those who run for government office, and we need to vote for those who agree the most with the Bible. Okay? At the same time, we need to recognize that our deliverance is ultimately going to come from God. Because all human leaders are just that. They're human, they're fallen, and our hope should not be in man, and our hope should definitely not be in the United Nations, but our hope should be in the Lord Jesus and His return. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Until He returns, you are called to be a warrior for Him. A spiritual warrior. Our battle is ultimately on the spiritual realm. We wage war with the forces of evil over the souls of men by trying to lead men to Christ, pleading with them to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. At the same time, before the kingdom of God comes to earth through the Lord Jesus Christ, Lucifer is at work in this world trying to build his own kingdom. And I don't care who somebody is, whether he's Republican or Democrat or independent, whether he's Christian or non-Christian, if a guy doesn't see the writing on the wall, doesn't see this occurring right now, I just plain think he's mistaken. The Bible said this is going to happen someday, and lo and behold, all you got to do is turn on CNN, whenever they interview somebody and there's some kind of catastrophe, some little war between a couple nations or something, the first question out of their mouths is, what kind of repercussions is this going to have for the New World Order? So while we Christians, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, while we Christians, like ostriches, keep our head in the sand, CNN openly talks about this New World Order and bringing about this one world government body that's going to judge over the affairs of men throughout the world. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Our hope is not in the wisdom of man. Our hope is not in the United Nations. Our hope is not in CNN. Our hope is in Jesus. And until then, we have to preach not only for the kingdom of God and not only preach the gospel message, but we need to preach against ungodliness and preach against the plans of Lucifer to further enslave this planet for his agenda. And so I close with that. Our hope is in Jesus, not in the United Nations. Let's close with a word of prayer.